fire it up. Today's message is called Plead in the Desert. Plead in the Desert. Look, every one of us was called by God. We got saved. We accepted Yeshua Messiah as our Savior. And we're on the road to the Promised Land. Today's the first day of unleavened bread. Last night would have been the night they marched out on the selfsame day by a full moon to leave Egypt and go to the Promised Land. But you know what? Between Egypt and the Promised Land is a wilderness. There's a desert between Egypt and the wilderness. We don't like the desert. We don't like the desert. But you know what? God's got to prove us in the desert. We're not going there. But in the early part of Deuteronomy it says, I brought you into the iron smelting furnace of the desert to prove whether you walk in my law or no. And too many times we're not willing, are we? Too many times. We're talking about tithing earlier. We come up into that place where I can't pay my tithe. Oh, well, I'll just go ahead and use my tithe. Oh. Back in the desert we go. Do you want to get from Egypt to the Promised Land? Well, hey, you got to let Him prove you or know whether you walk in His commandments. Because until you start walking His commandments, you go wander in the desert. Come on, y'all. I mean, we read the stories. We read these stories as children. We should know them by heart. Exodus 12. We'll start in verse 41. Talk about the last night, the night to be much observed. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, that means they came in on unleavened bread. Amen? It's a Hebrew calendar, not the Roman calendar. That means they came into Egypt on unleavened bread. And now they're going out of Egypt on unleavened bread. All the Lord's divisions left Egypt because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. That's what we were doing last night in type. That's what was done in the past as an example for us. Because you know what? When you were in the night of sin, when you were in the night of being lost, when you were in the night of you don't know where your help is coming from or what you're going to do, the Lord reached in and took you out. And that's why you keep the night to be much observed, because He rescued you out of the night of terror and trouble to bring you into the glorious day of the freedom of the children of God. And therefore you keep the night to be much remembered because you are celebrating your freedom. Hey, your freedom wasn't cheap. You wasn't a cheap day, as we say all the time. It cost the Son of the Living God to get you out of there, and He's expecting that you will at least honor Him. Look, they were only in slavery 430 years. We were all going in the lake of fire. Aren't you happy you got saved? Hey, don't you have something to celebrate? Come on now, think about that for a minute. Let's drop on down to chapter 13, verse 3. Then Moses said to the people, commemorate this day. This day. This day you're celebrating right now. Commemorate this day. You came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast. Some versions say leavening. If it makes your bread dough rise, no. No biscuits, no baking powder, no baking soda, no yeast, no go down to the bakery and buy bread. You either make it at home or you buy matzah. You either make it at home or buy matzah. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread. You see, we talked in the past about putting away sin. Okay, hopefully we de-leavened our houses. Right? Now we've got to take in Jesus. It is not enough to stop sinning. It's not enough to stop sinning. You're still just a person of flesh and blood made of mud. Now you've got to take in eternal life from Him. And for 7 days, He's going to prove you. The temptations are going to come. The trials are going to come. The bread is going to come out of nowhere. Man, you will never believe all the places leavened bread can hide. You will never believe all the friends of yours that are going to bring you donuts. Many people ain't never brought you a donut in their life. They could care, but they're bringing you donuts this week. You can count on it, Jack. You can count on it. And as much as you, if you love them as much as I do, you're going to be going, oh, man. Why this week?
Why couldn't I have had the donuts last week? Why couldn't I get the donuts next week? No, you've got to bring them to me today when I can't have them. No, I'm sorry, I can't eat donuts. Problem is, they're going to remember that all the rest of the year. Oh, he don't eat donuts. I do too, just not on the lemon. Today in the month of Abib, you are leaving. When the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, all the Mites, he'll bring you in the land of the Ites. The land he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony this month. In other words, when you get in the kingdom of God, we're still going to be observing this ceremony. Now, I don't know how earthly months and days and years flow, but however that works in the kingdom of God in the Spirit, you are going to be observing the days of unleavened bread forever. You're going to, why? Because we're going to acknowledge our absolute need for Jesus living in us. And that's what unleavened bread really has to do with. For 7 days eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day hold a festival to the Lord. Next Sabbath is that seventh day. Next Saturday is the last day of unleavened bread. Next Sabbath is another holy day to the Lord. Not, now look, hey, you heard Coleman give you his testimony about the vision he saw and the power of God that comes on holy days. You're talking about a holy day on a Sabbath. That's double dose. I hope you're feeling it like I'm feeling it right now. That's a double dose. You're already going to get the Sabbath provision poured out, and you're going to put the holy day dose on top of it. Come on now. If that don't get you jumping and shouting, nothing will. Eat unleavened bread during those 7 days. Eat nothing with leavening is to be seen among you, nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere in your borders. On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me. So what you tell your children when you teach them about unleavened bread? Look, your daddy used to be a heathen sinner. But the Lord rescued me when I wasn't paying attention. The Lord came and pulled me out of the pit when I was happy in there. Come on, y'all. Y'all act like I'm the only one that ever... Look, I taught my children that days of unleavened bread for days of unleavened bread. The Lord pulled me out of sin. I didn't start out a righteous man reading you the Bible. I started out a heathen. And worse, I was an evangelical heathen. Huh? You know, it's amazing. We get saved, we don't want to talk to nobody about the Lord. Holy Spirit, put a little conviction. Go over there and give you testimony. I don't want to tell him that. Now, when I was a heathen, I had no problem going over and browbeating you to smoke pot. Come on, man, let's go get high. Come on, it don't, I'll forget all that. God, we put it on them then. Oh, but now we got the eternal life and the Son of God living in it. Oh, we kind of shy about it now. Come on, man. If you was willing to be an evangelist for the devil... You ought to be willing to be an apostle for the Lord Jesus. Come on, now look what he's done for you. Think about it for a minute. Huh? I have no problem getting everybody to smoke pot. Come on, let's get around high and get high. And we're ashamed of getting high in church on the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you. I like it. And speaking of that, ain't none of y'all ever been drunk in the Holy Ghost till you get Nathan to pray for you. Man. My brother over there, he'll put you down. This is an observance for a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead. What's the beast going to do? He's going to mark your forehead and he's going to mark your hand. God is telling you this feast of unleavened bread is a sign on your forehead and on your hand. This is the antidote to the Antichrist. Sabbath, holy days, dietary laws, tithing. This is the sign of God on your head and on your hands. You want to keep the Antichrist number off of you? You got to keep the feast days. You got to keep his Sabbath day. Every one of these is marked in the Old Testament. It says it will be a sign for you on your forehead and a sign for you on your hand. This is how you keep the Antichrist off of you. And it will be a reminder that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, the rules for human living. We don't keep sacrifice anymore because Jesus did it. But I'm going to tell you a little secret. We miss an awful lot of good barbecues because of that. You get up in Ezekiel 44 and they're sacrificing animals in the temple when Jesus sits on the throne. There's kitchens in all four corners of the courtyard and temple. Why? Because God likes to have a barbecue and eat. Clean animals. We miss a lot of good barbecues over that. So don't be so happy we're not doing sacrifice. Those might have been good. And they're coming in the kingdom.
For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time. Hebrew says ha olam. I don't know what your Bible says, but ha olam means forever. It means in perpetuity. It means this will never end. Now I say, when we're all spirit beings and we're not all worried about the revolution of the earth around the sun, I don't know how that time will work out in God's time. Coleman got to see the wheels within the wheels turning. I don't know how that works in the spirit of God, but however it works, when this time comes up in God's time, we'll be keeping these days. You can bet on that. Now, just like them, we're headed to the promised land. What were you promised? You were promised a position in the kingdom of Almighty God. You're on the way to the promised land. And as we've had word from so many people this week, the time is short. It is coming up close. I don't know if it will be this year. I mean, he gave me all the sermons for the feast, so I'm assuming we'll at least be here through that. You know what happens when you assume things. Will we be here next year? The Lord told me. What's it to you? He said, if it's 2 years, will that be anything to you? That ain't much time, y'all. Come on, think about how if you were going to knew you had 2 years to stand in front of the Lord and be judged, how would you live today? Maybe a little different than we've been doing, huh? We're living like we got some time ahead of us. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, he told his apostles it was imminent in their lifetime, and it's 2,000 years later. Why does it have to be so imminent to you? Because you don't know if tomorrow's on the schedule. We don't know if we're going to wake up one day to the next. We're vapors that appear for a little while and are gone with the morning sun. Any one of us could get killed going to the restaurant for lunch today. I mean, we got to make this bad UE up here on the bypass. I mean, any one of us could get T-boned and, I mean, we got some truck drivers here. You get T-boned by a truck. I mean, that's it, man. Come on. You'd be looking at Jesus now. Now, what if you knew that you were going to die at lunch and you were going to be standing in front of the Lord in just a couple of hours? What would be important to you? Well, it'd change things, wouldn't it? Maybe all you'd want to do is worship the rest of the time out, right? Amen? I'm telling you, you're on your way to the promised land. Now, how fast can we make this journey? The problem with too many Christians and the problem with too many churches is that they don't want to learn to keep the law of God as a reminder of how they're supposed to live and act, so they keep wandering in the desert. We're not supposed to wander in the desert. The Lord didn't bring them on the fast road up the coast because he said the Philistines, they'll see war and they'll turn back to Egypt. He didn't want them going back to sin when they see the trials coming ahead. Hey, nobody told you what kind of trials you were going to face when you got saved, did they? They just came on. I remember thinking this at one point. I kind of wished somebody told me because I might have had a different outtake on this. When you get into the fiery trials. But where did the Lord bring them? He brought them to the mountain of God in northern Arabia, Mount Sinai. He brought them to the mountain of God for a God encounter because he knew that's what it's going to take to get them in the promised land. Come on now. But there's a wilderness between Egypt and the mountain. And they had to go through the desert over the 7 days of unleavened bread. Oh, come on now. Come on now. And just like them, you were given this Bible. You were given this Word of God. How many of y'all read it cover to cover more than once? Think about it, man. This is your instruction to how to get to the promised land. Have you even bothered to read? How can you get to the promised land if you don't read the directions? Come on now. I've traveled a lot. We've got truck drivers here. You don't just hop in the truck and decide I'm going to Nevada. You get directions. First off, where are we going in Nevada? Nevada's a big state, man. Are we going way up to Reno in the mountains? Or are we going down to Vegas in Nevada? I mean, where are we going in Nevada? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We all headed to the promised land and we don't even read the directions. How are you going to get there from here? Maybe. Hey, because those people never made it. They were 40 years in the wilderness. They didn't make it to the promised land. You hear what I'm saying? Their bodies fell in the desert because they had unbelief and they refused to obey God. And we're going to get into some real heavy stuff on this. They refused to obey. Because we're going to finish this one whether the tape runs out or not.
Exodus 19. He brought them to have an encounter with Him. This whole weekend is about intimacy with Yeshua. This whole weekend is about intimacy with Yeshua. I can't say it enough. I can't stress it enough. I wish I could just lay hands in Vulcan mind meld everybody in here so that you could know how to touch your God and be touched by your God, that you could get in that intimate place and know that intimate fellowship that our dear sister in North Carolina said, you know, there's a sexual component to it. It's not being rude or ugly. There's a spiritual thing that takes place between a husband and a wife. That's why he says only have sex in marriage. There's a danger. You damage your spirit when you come outside the law on this, because it's a sexual thing that has nothing to do with your wife or husband. It has to do with your relationship with Almighty God. And it has to do with your, if you'll keep the sexual part of your body. What does he say? Flee sexual immorality. It destroys your flesh. It's because that is the connecting place in the spirit that you make with the Lord Jesus. And if you've damaged it, look at the problem we have with the sound system. Didn't it tell you the connector got damaged and we didn't get no sound? See, God always shows you in the natural what's going on in the spirit. 19, verse 3. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you're to say to the house of Jacob and what you're to tell the people of Israel. You yourself have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings to myself. Okay, put your name in there. This is not a word for people in the past, so many thousands of years ago. This is a word to you. You were lost in Egypt. You were without help, cut off from God and no covenant. And He came and He shook your world to get you out of there. And He brought you to Himself on eagle's wings. And you have come into the presence of God Almighty in the meeting. I mean, I asked everybody beforehand. Everybody said that they felt the presence of God. You're in the presence of God. This word is to you. In your life, at your house where you live. Now, if you will obey me fully. We don't like that word, do we? I mean, even in the Ten Commandments, Yul Brynner makes that famous line, Moses, Moses, obey. Every one of us says that to God. God, obey? Look, when you have an if then, there ain't no then without the if. That's what that means. When he says, if you will fully obey me, then. If you don't fully obey him, then ain't coming to your house. You can try to make then happen all you want to. Then is not coming to your house. Until you fulfill if. We're talking about that today. You have to go through the obedience and the pain. And when you go through the obedience and the pain, then the stuff comes. He's got you in the desert to prove you whether you will walk in His commandments or not. And keep my covenant. The Torah is the covenant, y'all. Just like them. You told God, everything you've said, I will do. Then we go out and eat what we want. We go out and work when we feel like it. We keep whatever day we want to keep. We totally disregard the holy days. And we wonder why the then doesn't show up at the house. He said, if you fully obey me, if you keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. That's the same language in Malachi for the saints who are going to be rescued. You're going to be my treasured possession. One version renders it my precious jewels. You will be the jewels of Almighty God if you will fully obey Him and keep His covenant. What's not to like? How many other deals like this have you ever been offered in your life? I've been offered a lot of deals in my life. Normally it's very advantageous for the person offering the deal and very disadvantageous for me. And God here is offering you the deal of a lifetime. You will be my treasured jewels in the kingdom of God if you will fully obey me. Press hard, 5 copies, sign here. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests. The other reason you got to read the law, if you don't know the law, how are you going to be a priest? The priest's job is to discern the difference between holy and common and clean and unclean. And if you don't know what holy is and common is, how are you going to teach anybody else? If you don't know the difference between clean and unclean, how are you going to teach anybody else? You have to know the laws to be a priest. Every priest was to write for himself a copy of the Torah, just like the king. But every priest had a copy. Why? Because they got to go home and teach it in the synagogue. Now, God did not choose it to be that way. His first choice was that every man would be the head of his household, and he would be the priest of his household, and he would take this Torah, and he would teach it to his family. And as you have sons and daughters, you remain the priest of the household, only it's the extended household. Now, that doesn't mean you lord it over the young men. It means you're training them to be priests when you're gone. Because when you go, then now you got however many priests. It's supposed to be a multiplication. God doesn't do division, y'all. The devil does division. God does multiplication. Now imagine we have hungry hearts. And everybody comes in and learns how to be a priest. Everybody comes in and learns how to minister the word. Everybody comes and learns how to handle the presence of God with all holiness and reverence. Guess what? That's multiplication. That's not the end of hungry hearts. That's the expansion of God's kingdom. Come on, y'all. See this. A holy nation. These are the words you're to speak to the Israelites. So Moses goes back and summons the elders of the people and set before them all the words Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey had commanded him to speak. And the people all responded together. Just like you did. You got saved and you said, Jesus is my Lord. Well, I got news for you. Lord is an old English word which means that person you're calling Lord is your absolute master. Good thing we live in these United States because they were required to call the man that lived in the manor house Lord and serve him that way back in the day. If he wanted your daughters, he took them. If he wanted to press you in his wars and you got killed, oh well. If he wanted to take your crop, he took it. But you called Jesus Lord. You said that He is your unequivocal, irrevocable master. And then we turn around and do everything He said not to do. So how that's why He says, why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say. And look what He says to those people. I never knew you. I never knew. They're not getting in. I never knew you. If you call Him Lord, you better be doing what He says. So what do people say? You said it too. We will do everything the Lord has said. That's Genesis to maps. You said it. I didn't. The Lord tricked you. I didn't trick you. I'm just telling you what you're in for. You said everything the Lord has said I will do. That's Genesis to maps. How many of y'all prayed the Lord's Prayer? He tricked you again. That's Genesis to maps. His will is Genesis to maps. You prayed it. You're in. Okay? So when are we going to fulfill our part of the bargain? Or let me ask you a different way. How long are we going to wander in the desert? How long are we going to wander in the wilderness? When are we finally going to let it sink in to say, I'm coming out the wilderness. I got a date in the promised land. We wander in the wilderness because we're not willing to give up us and yield it over to Him. Let me tell you something. You ain't never going to give the Lord something He don't give back to you in a lot better shape than He took it. You're going to give Him your broken life that wasn't fit for you or Him. And He's going to give you something back that will matter. He's going to give you something back that you'll be happy to have. He's going to give you something back that'll be worth having. And He's going to give you something back that you'll be able to offer Him in worship because what you brought wasn't fit. Come on now. Hey, I'm just being honest in church now. What we brought the Lord wasn't fit. As we say in the South, you wasn't fit for shooting. Wasn't worth the cost of the shells. That's what we say in the South. And boy, He's going to give you back. He calls His treasured possession. Treasured possession. People didn't want it. You didn't want it either. You know, there is no freedom without the law of God. There is no freedom without law. We don't like law. Coleman's always singing this song to me. I fought the law and the law won. The law won? The law always wins. Oh, but Pastor Bill, I'm saved by grace. Yeah, you're saved by grace because you ain't none of us, none of you, none of anybody is ever going to earn the kind of favor with God because we kept His laws and commandments. But let me tell you a little secret. We sinned after that, didn't we? We didn't stop being bad because the Lord saved us by grace. We're still bullheaded and full of ourselves. I'm going to do it my way. Guess what? You're back in bondage again. The Lord did not pull you out of Egypt to send you back to Egypt. The people always wanted to go to Egypt. He's sick of us living in Egypt. It's time to come out of Egypt and get to the promised land. And the promised land don't look like Egypt. But we keep wanting Egypt. What'd they do? Make us a golden calf. And he's saying, worship me, not an image. And we keep going back to those things. We're in America. We ought to get this. I've never heard anybody say that old Bill of Rights. That old Bill of Rights is a bondage. No, man, we cherish our freedoms. We are always going to court saying, hey, the law said I couldn't be treated this way. And then we want to do away with the only law that really guarantees our freedom. Amen. Did you know the guarantee of life is in the Torah? You've got no guarantee of life by man's laws, but the Torah says thou shalt not take life. And it also says whoever takes the life of a man must die by the hand of a man. That's guaranteeing your life and backing it up. How many of you know that liberty was not a creation of secular people in the 17th century? God proclaimed it in the Torah. He says, proclaim liberty on the day of atonement and set the captives free. Men didn't come up with that. God did. Our founding fathers got it from the Bible. They didn't get it from just somebody thinking about it. And then we talk about the pursuit of happiness. Our laws leave us free to pursue happiness. But God is so much better than our laws. He not only left you free to pursue happiness, He equipped you with the means to get her done. God gave everybody an inheritance of property on which people who make things can make things, people who trade can trade, people who preach can preach, people who sell can sell, people who want to farm can farm. How can you really pursue happiness without capital? As my uncle said, it's a capitalist society, son. You ain't got no capital, you ain't going to be happy. Believe me, I spent most of my life with no capital. I wasn't happy. Money can't buy happiness. Well, every poll says it does. Now, I'm not trying to make light of the fact that God is more important, but I'm just telling you, you ain't got no money, you ain't going to be happy. Come on, I've done it enough to know. What does God say? He says, divide the land by lot, and every man shall receive his inheritance. Why? Because you can't pursue happiness if you ain't got nothing in your pockets. We make people buy their own property and pay 30-year mortgages on it. Come on, then we get so broken down, we got to remortgage it again and remortgage it again. Then we never have inheritance. The whole family in Loosedale is setting up their lives and buying and paying for property and deeding it to their children so that the next generation is free of that bondage. God called you out of Egypt and said, I'm going to give you your inheritance and it can never be sold. So if I get stupid, my kids ain't beat out of it. Because he knows some of us, sometimes we get stupid. Come on, we ain't stopped being stupid. We love it. Now let's go to Deuteronomy 28. We get stuck on it, we just love it. But you know, that's what's so great about our God is He comes to rescue us out of stupid. Even in spite of ourselves, He comes to get us out of there. You know, He's been so good to me. I've done so many dumb things. The best blessings in my life, the Lord had to drag me into them, kicking and screaming. Lord, I don't want to do that. Be a janitor again? I'm sick of being a janitor. No, no, son, you got to start the cleaning business. I don't want to start the cleaning business. He had to drag me into it through unemployment. I'll take anything now because I'm out of unemployment checks. I'll clean now, yeah. Now I got a prosperous business. It wasn't coming to me if I hadn't been drug in by him because I wasn't going to take it on my own. Come on, I'm just as dumb as anybody else. Maybe dumber. The Lord calls you to the promised land to receive blessing, not cursing. Okay? The devil and other people are telling you that God has brought you out in this desert to kill you in here. That God has brought you in this desert because He ain't strong enough to give you the promises. He brought you in the desert because He ain't strong enough to give you the blessings. But I'm telling you today, your God brought you, is bringing you to the promised land so you can receive the blessing, not a cursing. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1. If, there's that if again, oh my goodness. There's no then without the if. If you don't follow if, there ain't going to be no then. I don't know how much more plainer I can say that in Southern. I know my daughters are cringing over here at that. But if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. If we don't fully obey Him and carry out all His commandments, we're not going to be set high above all nations of earth. But you are an individual. How can you be lifted up if you're not going to keep His commandments? Brother Lenny was talking to me about this is the corrosive effect of poverty in the church. People see you get saved, they see you come out of Egypt, and they see you live in poverty, and they're like, well, what's up with that? I don't want that. We can't make prosperity on our own, but that doesn't mean you don't go to work. God is going to give you the prosperity if you obey His commandments. Then you've got something to show them. See, I used to be poor. When I followed my own flesh and my own lust and the evil desires of the devil, I used to be poor. But now that I've come into the kingdom of God, He's lifted me up. People would like that. That's an answer to their problems. If you're just going to live in the problems the same as they're living in, what's the point of being like you? We liked sin before we got saved, remember? We didn't voluntarily say, oh, I've had enough of that. I'll do something different now. We liked it when Egypt. We didn't want to come out of Egypt. He had to bring us out of Egypt. Same for everybody else. All these blessings will come on you and accompany if you fully obey the Lord your God. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Come on, y'all. That's good. There's bad things happening in the city. It's good to be blessed in the city. Come on now. Hey, there's some bad things going in the country. It's good to be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed. All right, what's the number one problem we hear in churches? People come up to me all the time, my kids need to be blessed. Keep the law. The fruit of the womb is your children. If you want your children blessed, you've got to walk in the law. The young of your livestock, the crops of your land, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. That's bringing the groceries in. I don't know about you, but I like my groceries being blessed. I want the stuff I bring out the store being blessed. I want the food we haul in my house to be blessed. Why? Because I need to live. And if my food ain't blessed, I'm not going to have health. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He has given you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people, as He promised on oath, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of Yahweh, and they will fear you. And the Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your forefathers to give you. And the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain in its season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You'll lend to many nations, but borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never on the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or the left, following other gods or serving them. We need that to live. Man, we go to church, what's the first thing we ask for? Oh, I want to feel a little outpouring of the rain of the Holy Spirit. If you're not keeping His commandments, there's a real limit to what you're going to get. People talk to me all the time, how do you have this move of God in the meetings? Because our core people are living right. We're not perfect. We still sin, but we're living right, basically. And where we're not in perfect obedience, we're thinking about how to get there. We're thinking about how to use the Spirit of God within us to make those other changes. I'm not the same man I started out being. Believe me, my children are very thankful. My wife is even more thankful. Somebody's telling me about a temper last night. You can tell some stories, right, sister? Yeah, she didn't want to say it in front of everybody. She knows. Look, man, I'm telling you, the Lord will bless you if you walk in His commandments. Your story will always get better and better and better. That's why you eat the Hillel sandwich from the bitter when you get saved to the sweet. Because the longer you stay in this, the longer you do it, the longer you conform your life to the Lord's will, it's going to keep getting better and better until you're in the promised land. But the children of Israel did not do that. And their example is so very important for us today because they stayed in the wilderness. And there are way too many of our brethren that stay in the wilderness. Look, Brad Scott has got a great saying. He says, look, you need to learn about the Sabbath and come to it. You need to learn about the holy days and come to it. You need to learn to live by God's laws and commandments and come to it. But don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your Sunday friends that are still in bondage in Egypt. Don't forget your Sunday friends who were keeping all the pagan days lost in the wilderness. Because God loves them too. And even if it's not their destiny to go into rescue, your contact with them might be what lights a fire on them in the tribulation for them to get on fire for God and rise up and eventually get saved. You know, an innumerable multitude dies in the tribulation and shows up at the throne of God worshiping Him. So it's not just about getting you into rescue. It's also about seeding this zeal among them so that later on they can come on. They're in the wilderness, man. We've got to have a heart for those people. We were all in the wilderness.
Amen.
Praise God He had a heart for us. We're supposed to have that same heart for the others. Not to beat them in the head with it, but to try to bring them along. Come on, we're going to the promised land. Come on, you know what's in the desert? All the old snakes running around up in there. And I'll tell you something else. It's not just the blessings from the freedom of God on the way to the promised land. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know about you, but I was in dry dead church an awful long time. We're talking last night. I'm like, hey, I done all the dry dead church any man should ever have to go through, man. My tour of duty in worldwide, you know, has enough dry dead church. Man, tour of duty, man. Hey, I did it. That's time for the water. Come on. I want to. Hey, I love that song, Holy Ghost Overflow. Living water overflow. I mean, hey, I love that. I mean, church without that is like, man, why bother going? You wonder why. It's no wonder now why so many of them lay out every week. Nothing to go for, man. I want the full baptism. But you know what? God poured some of that out in the wilderness. God poured this out in the Old Testament. Go to Numbers. Man, we overlook so much stuff in the law. Numbers 11. Everything that you need to make the rescue of the saints was poured out in these people in the desert to show you how to get there. This is your roadmap. These are your driving instructions, baby. We're on the way to the promised land and we got the instructions of how to get there and the map laid out. So let's get it going, man. Come on, we got some drivers here for a living. Come on, let's get on the road, baby. I think Danny was telling me about just one road in going to, I think it was Valdosta. He says, quiet, drive it late at night. Nobody, I put that Peterbilt down, baby. He was flying through there. I won't see how fast he was going. These tapes go out. Numbers 11, verse 16. Yeah. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people, and have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you, and I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the Spirit. Is that capitalized in your Bibles? Does that capitalize your Bibles? That means Holy Spirit. If it's capitalized, that means Holy Spirit. Yay! And I will take of the Spirit that is on you and put the Spirit on them. Hey, these prepositions in the Hebrew doesn't make any difference which one it is. In, on, around, with, about. See, it's English that gets so specific. The Hebrew just means ruach, you. We put the preposition, want to argue, well, it was on them, it wasn't in them. But you can flip back to Exodus. And Bezalel, who built the temple furniture, he said, I put my Spirit in him. And I will take of the Spirit and put the Spirit on them, and they will help you carry the burden of the people that you, so you will not have to carry it alone. Tell the people, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. Oh, that's another thing. But I just wanted you to see that the Holy Ghost went there. Turn to 25 and see it happen. Drop down to verse 25. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him. He took of the Spirit that was on Moshe and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. And when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied. Come on now. And even though it didn't do it again, that's what I was told by the old time Pentecostals. You may not ever pray in tongues but once, but when you get it, you will pray in tongues once. They prophesied when it came on them. And the two elders that was bullheaded and didn't show up got it and they prophesied in the camp. Tell me it didn't come on them. Come on, when's the last time you saw somebody prophesy all by himself without the Spirit of God? Don't happen, does it? God put it on them, baby. The three things that you were promised, the blessing, freedom under the law, freedom from Egypt and sin, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens on the way to the encounter with God. That's what happens in the wilderness. It's supposed to bring us close to Him. It's supposed to bring us with Him. I'm not going to turn here for the sake of time, but Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve had sinned, God did not come down and burn their hides. You notice that? God did not come down and light them up. He didn't come down and jack them up. He didn't come down and yell and scream and holler at them. He came down and asked, "Where are you? Where are you?" They're the ones that hid. When we do things He doesn't like, we're the ones that go run and hide. He doesn't come and run and hide from us. He's always right there to bring us back to Him. It's the presence of God that we need. We don't keep the laws out of just obedience. We keep the laws because we love and adore Him. And we want His presence. You see, breaking His laws makes us run. Keeping His laws should be bringing us near. You were created to have a relationship with Almighty God. That's why He calls you sons and daughters. How many of you parents, when your children did bad things, wanted them to leave and never come back? Nobody. You might want to whoop them. Miss Beth. We love our children, don't we? How many times after you had to punish them did you go climbing back in, sneaking back in their room to hug them later? Come on. How many times you go back and love on them later? Come on. Now, we were made to live in the very presence of God Almighty. But we're the ones that have cut ourselves off from that. We're the ones that cut ourselves off from that. So now, God didn't move. We left. We have to come back. When you read that English word repent in your Bible, that's what it means. You left God. The word in Hebrews, teshuvah, means come back. Come back. That's it, a 180. Hey, look, when Brother Coleman got turned on to the truth, his pastor told him, "You're going back." Coleman said, "Yeah, that's right, I'm going back." Yeah, I'm going back. Straight up 45. I'm going back. I'm going back to the law of God. I'm going back to my God. Yeah, I've been running away a long time, but I'm going home now. What do you think He gave you the parable of the prodigal son? All right, now, Numbers 13. Numbers 13 in verse 26. Moses sent 12 spies to spy out the land. He sent 12 spies to spy out the goodness of the promised land. They didn't come back and do that, did they? They came back and they gave a bad report. They lied about God, and they stirred up the people against God, and they stirred up the people to disobey God. Not all 12. Not all 12. Well, we're going to cover our two boys. We're going to spend some time on them, brother. What report are you giving? What report of the promised land are you giving people that see you, come in contact with you? What report does your daily life bring? Do you have the excitement of being in the presence of God? Do you have the blessing in your house that people know, man, they're blessed. I saw where they came from. I know what they started with and I can see it all in that. What promise are you giving? You know, when they came out of there, the spies, one bunch of grapes hung on a pole carried by two men. So yeah, the giants were there, but one bunch of grapes was carried by two men on a pole. Come on now. I mean, that was big. Verse 26, they came back to Moses and Aaron, the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert. And there they reported to them in the whole assembly and showed them the fruit. Okay, there's some fruit. We got some fruit. We went to the land which you sent us, and it does indeed flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful. Yeah, we get the promised land. There are going to be some demons to fight on the way. Come on, there are going to be some demons to fight on. They're giant demons too. You ain't trifling with no little bitty rats. You got to deal with the prince spirits. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites live in the Negev. And the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, and all Amites that get up in your face live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before God. Caleb gave a good report. Caleb gave a good report. He said, quiet down. Don't get in an uproar against God. God is faithful to honor His promise. God is going to give us these land. Those Anakites are not going to stand before the people of God. He'll melt their cities before us and we'll be able to take the land. Caleb silenced the crowd before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those who live in it. I've seen a lot of Christians fall. I've seen a lot of Christians fall. Is that the report we give? I've seen a lot of casualties. I don't like casualties. I don't like casualties. I don't like seeing people fall by the wayside and give up the life. But I've seen a lot of them. Is that the report I give? Oh, no. All the people we saw there are of great size. And we saw the Nephilim, and we seem like grasshoppers in their eyes. I've had demons take out the sound equipment much worse than we had here. Amen? I've seen all kind of things go wrong. First day, setup day, Feast of Tabernacles, 2004. We had this ballroom rented for 10 straight days. They came in here and said, well, we double booked the ballroom. You can't have it. Is that the report I give? No. We trusted in God. He made a way. We trusted in God. He took them down. We trusted in God and in those giant demons that made us seem like grasshoppers. You know, the bigger you are, the harder you fall. And you know what? When you're way up there, you thud when you hit the ground. God is the one who goes before us. We've got to give the good report like Joshua and Caleb. You know, Joshua's name in the Hebrew is the same as Yeshua. We're the ones that don't want to write it that way because we don't want anybody else's name written like the Lord's. But Yeshua was a common name. It was like Joe or Jim Bob or Bill. It was a common name. He didn't have only the Lord had that name. He had a unique name. He had a common name because it means Yahweh saves. And that was a common name among the people of God. And all that night, the people of the community raised their voices and wept aloud, and they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. But you know what? You grumble against the leadership, you ain't grumbling against them. You're grumbling against God. We don't like what God is doing here. See, we always look at the people. We think we can get away with jumping on them. But you're not jumping on them. You're jumping on Him. Look, when the Lord gives you a commission and something to do like He did Moses, what did He tell Moses? What did He tell Moses? He didn't tell Moses, go down there and showboat with that staff. He didn't tell Moses, go down there and be made judge all these people. Moses didn't even want to judge them people. If you read the Torah, you find Moses didn't like that job. It made him sick to his stomach. He didn't want to do it. Actually, he cried to God one time and said, just go ahead and kill me. Now, I can't take it. He said, take these people out of Egypt and lead them to the promised land. So when you get your commission by God, look, we skipped that chapter, but right before chapter 11, Aaron and Miriam, his brother and sister, murmured against Moses, and God brought some heat on them. He said, I talked to Moses face to face. You dare raise something against Moses? Who? 14 verse 6. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. And that the Lord is pleased with us. If we're keeping His commandments, if we're obeying His laws, if we're doing what He said, if we're walking in His covenant. But you know, the people knew better. Because they knew they weren't keeping His commandments fully. They weren't walking in His covenant. They weren't doing like they were supposed to. And they knew the Lord probably wasn't going to be with them. Huh? Is that the way you are at your house? Oh, it's easy to come to church and act right. But are you living it at home? When Friday comes, are you keeping Shabbat? You know, we had somebody come in here and thought that Shabbat was from 6 o'clock on Friday afternoon to midnight. This stuff happens all the time. I mean, people get off on the internet and this stuff happens. That's not keeping the Shabbat. It's a 24-hour period of time, man. We got to give it to Him. If you want the thens to show up at your house, you have to live the ifs. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And the whole assembly talked about stoning them. How many times have you been out and run out of a church for talking about the Sabbath or the holy days, or telling people to live by the laws of God, telling people the truth, and they're ready to stone you, aren't they? To run you out of there. Because our friends in the wilderness don't understand. We got to make sure we don't get trapped up in that. Verse 14. And they will tell the inhabitants of this land about it. Moses is talking to God here. They have already heard that you, O Lord, are with these people, and you, O Lord, have been seen face to face. The Ites knew that the Israelites had seen the Yahweh, Creator God, face to face. Do your friends know you've seen Him face to face? Have you seen Him face to face that they know you've seen Him face to face? Are you in the presence of God enough that people know? Do you love the presence of God enough that people know? If you put these, you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. If you put these people to death all at one time, the nations who have heard this report about you will say the Lord was not able to bring these people in the land He promised, so He slaughtered them in the desert. They died in the desert. And it wasn't because God's hand was short, it's because they didn't have the belief to obey Him. We have to believe enough to obey Him. The Lord was able to bring these people. Now, may the Lord's strength be displayed just as you've declared. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, forgiving sin and rebellion, yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. In accordance with your great love, forgive the sin of these people just as you have pardoned them from the time they left Egypt until now. And Yahweh replied, I have forgiven them as you asked. Nevertheless, as surely as I live and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of the men who saw my glory and the miraculous signs I performed in Egypt and in the desert, but who disobeyed me and tested me these 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. Oh, y'all, take that in your soul of souls and your spirit of spirits. If you ever treat the Lord with contempt, you are not going in the promised land. The promised land for you is not in the Middle East. It's in the kingdom of God. If you treat Him with contempt, you will not be going in the kingdom of God. He swore by Himself. He will not change. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and he and his descendants will inherit it. Because Caleb had a different spirit. Do you have that spirit to love Him and obey Him and to do what He says? Because that's how Caleb is going in there. Too many Christians give a bad report. They're not obeying God, so they're not getting the blessing. They're not walking in His commandments, so they're not getting the power of the Holy Ghost to fall. And they're giving a bad report with their lives. Don't think I'm playing. I'm not picking on nobody. I've been to 4 conferences, and I'm told the number one problem in the Christian church is internet pornography. That ain't going in the promised land. People who live like that are not having any then come to their house. You can't play with God and do that. If you do that, the blessings aren't coming. The power of God's not coming. Nothing's coming to your house but the curses that we didn't read in Deuteronomy 28. That's the number one problem in the Christian church. Several years ago, our president was caught committing adultery in the Oval Office. And you know what a Baptist minister said? Adultery is America's favorite commandment to break. And we wonder why we can't have any connection with God. We wonder why we can't have His presence and the intimacy with the Lord Jesus. It's because we've burnt off and calloused our hearts to Him. That place where we bind to Him is the same one you bind with your wife when you're intimate together. And when you callous it off and harden your heart with sin, you can't connect to Him. It's like taking these contacts right here and tarnishing them with rust. They don't connect anymore. We do this and then we give God a bad report because people aren't blessed in church. People aren't getting prosperity. People aren't getting the power of God in the meetings. People aren't getting delivered from their bondages. And we want to blame God. It's us. The problem was never with the law of Moses. It was with the people. The problem is never going to be with the law of God. It's going to be with you and your spirit. You've got to have that same spirit Caleb had to obey the Lord, believing what He says to you. You've got to believe it. You've got to believe if you keep the Sabbath, there'll be a blessing and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You've got to believe when you keep unleavened bread for 7 days, He's going to fill you with Himself. I did it enough times. It's not a matter of faith for me. See, when you come and do it the first time, it's faith. After you've done it the first time, it's not faith, it's experience. I don't have to believe I'm going to be filled with Jesus Christ this week because I've done it enough times to know when I eat unleavened bread this week, I'm going to be filled with Christ. I got a report to give to you. I got a report that the Holy Ghost is going to fall on the last great day. I got a report to give you that prosperity and blessing will come to your house when you start living by His laws and commandments. You're going to be tested. Oh, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested straight out. But you got to go through the test. You got to be willing to take the pain in the obedience. And when you summon up that the Spirit of God in yourself to rise up to the case, God's going to be right there taking you by the hand. Exodus 19. I want to show you something. Too many Christians give a bad report of the promised land. They can't believe God for what He's promised them. So they turn back to Egypt. What do I mean by that? Do you realize in the Hebrew that they did not put names on the days of the week? First day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day, Shabbat. Only day with a name on it. What day is this day on the Roman calendar? Say it. Where do you think it got its name from? What was the chief god in Egypt? We turn back to Egypt. We can't believe God to bring us to the promised land, so we go back to Sunday. We give up Shabbat with the outpouring of the face bread and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit power, as Coleman told us about in his vision. And we go back to Sunday because we're familiar with Egypt. It will blow your mind to know that people have kept the day we know as Christmas from the time of Nimrod. We couldn't believe God for unleavened bread, so we go back and we keep the fertility rites of Easter. We couldn't believe God for the coming of His kingdom in the promised land, so instead of keeping tabernacles with the tithe, we go back to Christmas because it's familiar. We can't live in the wilderness like this. This is what the children of Israel did. And He said, their bodies rotted in the desert because I refused to bring them in because they wouldn't hear my voice. Exodus 19.
Thank you, Paul.
Exodus 19. Maybe totally. Well, now let's go to Hebrews 3. I want to keep this on. I don't want to stop right here. Let's go to Hebrews 3. We're not quite ready for Exodus. We're going to preach this even when it stops. If somebody just stop it at 75 minutes. I got 12 more to go. Well, actually 18 more. We'll just stop that. But I'm not going to stop. Hebrews 3, verse 7. You think I'm playing? I'm not trifling with anybody. This is in your Bible. It's in the Word of God. You were told, Genesis to maps, I will do all that the Eternal has said. Did you really mean it? Or were you just playing with Him? See, God is real. You can't be playing with God. When you come and tell God, I'll do all you say, He expects you to do all He said. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3. So as the Holy Ghost says, how many of y'all think you can disregard the Holy Ghost? It's okay. No? Holy Ghost tells you something. What does that mean? You better do it.
I think we got to...
Yeah, there's another CD in there. Today, if you hear His voice. Today, if you hear His voice. Do you hear His voice today? Do you hear it? Did you hear it this morning? Did you hear it this weekend? He said, today, if you hear His voice. It's not talking to them, it's talking to you. Do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. Do not harden your hearts as they did during the time of testing in the desert. You see, every person is going to go in the desert and have that time of testing. And He's telling you today, do not harden your hearts in that time of testing in the desert. Don't harden your heart to Him. Where your forefathers tested me and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. Don't tell me the Lord don't get angry. And I said, their hearts are always going astray. They've not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger. How many of you know if the Lord declares something on oath in His anger, you ain't getting there. Come on. Whatever, that's irrevocable, baby. You get one of those put on you, you're done. They shall never enter my rest. They shall never enter my rest. You are Christians with the Spirit of God living in you. You cannot afford for God to say, that person shall never enter my rest. You have to obtain His rest now. You're in it for keeps now. There ain't a second chance from here. You're in it for keeps. You've got to have it. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Hey, he's not warning you because it's convenient. This is not church because it's nice. This is not going to make you feel good. It's going to make you get right with Him. Encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness.
We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly to the end the confidence we had at first. As has just been said, today if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who rebelled? Was it not those whom Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the desert? Think about the words that you're reading in your Bible. And to whom did God swear they would never enter His rest if it not to those who disobeyed? Joshua and Caleb got in because they had a different spirit in them. A spirit that wanted to obey God. A spirit that wanted to live for God. A spirit that wanted to do everything He said. They got in because they wanted Him more than they wanted their friends. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore means everything we just said now has a consequence. And this is it. Are you ready for this? Since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have been found to have fallen short of it. Ooh. That means it's possible for Christians to fall short of this. I don't like watching my Christian friends fall in the wilderness. I cry tears. For we also have had the gospel preached to us just as they did. Oh, did you know that? The gospel was preached to them in the wilderness. Did you realize that? The gospel was preached to them in the wilderness. Right, here's what it says, right? Know what your Bible says? But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not combine it with the faith. They did not have the faith to believe God. They did not have the faith to believe to go up and take the land. They did not have the faith to walk in His commandments. They did not have the faith to receive the blessing. They did not have the faith to receive the pouring of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to show you in a minute where that was so crucial to them. And they did not have the faith to believe in the God encounter that He laid out for them. Oh, it's going to get good. That's why I'm not going to stop. Now, we who have believed enter that rest. What is this rest? What is the rest He keeps talking to you about? If you believe, you will enter His rest. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day with these words. And on the seventh day, God rested from all His work. And again in the passage above, He says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later He spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Man, the Sabbath is the door to get in the promised land. The Sabbath is the door. You can't get to the promised land any other way except through the Shabbat. It's the door in the kingdom. He just said that. Oh, you think I'm playing? Let me finish up. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken about another day. Joshua subdued the promised land and divided up the inheritance among the tribes. If Joshua had given them the Sabbath rest, He would not have spoken about another day through David so many thousands of years later, saying, today if you hear His voice. They didn't get in with Joshua. It still remains for you. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. A Sabbath rest. That's Sunday rest. That's the counterfeit the devil's been trying to beat you with all your life. That's the counterfeit that will steal your blessing from you. If you take the counterfeit, you're going to get second best. Maybe if you're lucky. The face bread's put out on the Sabbath. If you come on Sunday, it's day old bread. The presence was yesterday, and if you come a day late, you're just getting residual. I want residual. I want Him. I want first. I want bread. I don't want the crumbs from yesterday's feast. I want the bread. He's telling you Sabbath is the door in His kingdom. And all the people that take the Sunday door, that road leads somewhere they don't want to go. Back in the wilderness. Back around the mountain again. We couldn't hear it the first time. Let's go back around the mountain again. We come back up to the mountain. Oh, Sunday door. Oh, back around the mountain. Sunday keeps leading you in a circle around the mountain. Sabbath takes you in the promised land, baby. I want to go in the promised land. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. You're not relying in your law keeping anymore. Oh, you're still keeping the law.
But you realize that His is what got you through the door. You realize that His is what brings the blessings of Deuteronomy. Did you ever notice something? It says Jesus became the curse of the law for you. We didn't read the curse of the law in Deuteronomy 20, did we? We stopped at the blessings. Jesus lived the only perfectly acceptable Torah observant life to earn the blessing of God. The only one. And yet He took the curses of God for you. That means it's available to you if you go in the promised land to take the blessings that Jesus earned by that Torah observant life. It ain't based on your works anymore. If you'll walk and enter His rest, it's based on His works. You didn't get that. Oh, come on, y'all. Some of y'all be shouting, hollering. Your promise of blessing, your promise of provision, your promise of prosperity, your promise of blessed coming in and blessed going out, blessed in the country, blessed in the city, blessed in the fruit of your womb, blessed, always the head and never the tail, is based on the fact that He lived it perfectly, not you. And if you'll enter His rest and Shabbat's the door to get in, if you enter His rest and all of a sudden it's not what your law keeping brings you, it's what His law keeping brought, because He took your curse. Let us make every effort, therefore, to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. We're talking about going from Egypt, the Egypt of a life of sin, into the promised land. Don't do like they did. Be prepared to go all the way in. Now, go to Acts chapter 7. And this is the verse that set this whole thing up. Like Perry Stone, now we're going to preach. That was just the introduction. Now we're going to preach. Are you ready? Change CDs now. That's good. Just tell me when you're ready to go. I'm stopping it. Okay, just change it now. We finna get started. This will be a good stop.